Thank you. Amen. 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 Deacon, you just took that person's soul. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you. Amen. Such a true song. In such a time as this, we're going through this pandemic and things are tough and people are struggling. It's no greater time than for us to trust God. Amen. Amen. Again, kudos to this praise and worship team. Amen. We certainly thank God for the Holy Spirit using you guys. Amen. Let us bow. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed our ears to hear such wonderful praise songs. You have allowed our eyes to witness men and women lifting up their holy hands, magnifying your name. God, we thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to manifest in this place. Master, we ask now that you don't stop there. I pray, Master, that you will allow me to decrease. Therefore, your holy word will increase. Hide me, Jesus. Let the people see less of him, but more of the Holy Spirit. Speak to me now, that I may speak to these your children. Give me the words to say. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. For it's in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, my God. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen. And amen. You know, when you go through everyday life, there will be times when you begin to question yourself. And let's be truthful, there are times when we even question our God. There are times when God will command that we step out on faith. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's almost like a riddle, and it don't make a whole lot of sense. But the thing is that we've got to learn to trust. We've got to learn to trust God and take God at his word. And with that, I was reading and studying his word. And those of you that have your Bibles, I invite you to the Old Testament of Joshua. There's a story that fits this line. Fits this theme that we're talking about today, trusting God when it just don't make sense. In Joshua, the third chapter of Joshua, beginning at verse 1, when you found it, would you please say amen? You may rest on your feet if you're able. But in this story, Joshua is commanding the people, the Levites, that is carrying the ark. He's letting them know that you got to do something that not normal to man. Joshua, the third chapter of Joshua, reading out of my NIV this morning for your hearing pleasure. Beginning, I'll be reading three verses, and it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out to Shittim and went to the Jordan,
all right,
where they camped before crossing over.
Very well.
So they had time to think about it.
All right.
After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it.
Yes, sir.
Let me go ahead and read verse 4. He says, then you will know which way to go.
I'm always.
Since you have never been this way before, keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I want to stop right there. You may be seated. And I want to use for a theme or a subject. I want to talk about trusting God when it doesn't make sense.
Come on now.
Because see here, we see that Joshua have told them that they are to cross the Jordan. And now he said that the Levites, the priests, are to carry the ark. He says, when we started out, he said that Joshua commanded that whenever you guys see the Levites and the priests who are carrying the this ark, you are to move out of the way. And as a matter of fact, when I continue to read the word of God, he says that he told the people that that when you move out of the way, don't get too close. Because this is the presence of God. He said that you need to follow in about 1,000 yards, a distance. Stay away, because if you get too close, you're going to die.
All right, now.
And the people, knowing that they had to get across this Jordan, the amazing thing to me, guys, is that when I continue to read the story, the Bible says that the Jordan was at flood stage. So I had to stop. I had to put a period right there and begin to wonder now. They've got to cross this Jordan. And I began to do some research on the Jordan. And I found out that the Jordan would be at normal stage would be about anywhere from 3 feet to 10 feet of water where they were to cross. But it was at flood stage, so it was running over the banks.
All right.
And now, I don't know how many of you have ever paid attention to whenever a flood comes in your neighborhood or your community. But I've been texting back and forth with my friends over in Central America. As a matter of fact, I just talked with them this morning, and they were saying, please pray. Pray for us, Pastor, because we've got another hurricane headed
our way.
Yes, sir.
And the last hurricane last week, guys, they got houses let me see if I can paint this picture. Their houses is built about where the heater system air duct vents is. They're that high off the ground. Now this water was up at some of them roof. So that gives you a picture of the flood that they get. And they were showing me their horses, because whenever we go, we build houses and do sports camps with them. And there was no dry ground around.
Yes, sir.
So their horses had to stand in water, and they haven't eaten in a week or so. And they began to get skinny. And they were just telling me that the water had started to recede, and that the horses was finally being able to get something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And now here it is, another storm is headed their way. So definitely be in prayer. That means that they really got to trust God.
Yes, sir.
Even though it don't make a whole lot of sense, it seems like they would just want to run and hide and get to higher ground. But many times we are asked to, we're mandated to trust God and to do things that don't line up with us.
Yeah, yeah.
When you think about it, all of us here have gone through some kind of tough times.
Come on here.
And we had to learn to trust. We had to learn to wait.
Yes.
Even though it don't make sense, that it seems like when you're doing everything right, it seems like that's when sometimes the most trouble will come. And when you be truthful to yourself, a lot of times we will stop and ask God, why is it that I gotta go through what I'm going through? God, I'm paying my tithes. I'm serving in the community. I'm loving. I'm supporting. I'm doing all of the things that I know to do right, but yet I'm still struggling.
Amen.
A lot of times it don't make sense that we still gotta trust God and continue to persevere in the midst of our hard times.
Yeah, Lord.
And when you think about it, when you think about this thing, trusting God when it doesn't make sense, you think about your job situation.
Yeah.
Many times we have been on a job and all of a sudden the job situation changes.
Yes, sir.
But that's not to say that God don't love you.
Hallelujah.
That still means that we still gotta trust God. Many times it can be in a life experience.
Yeah.
We can be doing everything that we know to do what's right, and all of a sudden, the one that I thought that was gonna be with me till the end, they walked out. They took my heart and they stumped on it, and they just trampled over me like I was a floor mat. But yet you're telling me to still trust God. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
You gotta trust God. Because only God knows the heart of man and mankind. So when things don't go the way we plan them to go, the thing is, Michael Jackson said, I'm looking in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror and say, Lord, what is it that I need to learn from this trial, this tribulation? What is it I need to learn? Even though I'm brokenhearted, I'm not concerned about so-and-so. Lord, show me how I can be a better man, how I can be a better woman of God.
Yeah,
a lot of times relationships will go bad when you know how it is when, especially the guys, you know, when we see something we like, we go at it with everything that we got.
Yeah.
We'll spend money, we'll send flowers, we'll write cards, we'll write letters. And then when we accomplish our tasks, it seems like we slow down.
Yes, sir.
I need to write the wife a letter, though. Hey, I'm preaching to me. I ain't preaching to nobody else. Sometimes you have to step on your own toes. But a lot of what am I saying? I'm saying that a lot of times we stop doing what it takes to keep the fire hot. See, y'all know I've used this illustration before. When you're building a fire, you can't go out and grab no wet wood. You can't get no green log and expect for it to burn hot. Now, it'll burn hot once it dry out. But if you want to start a fire, you got to get some kindling. It's got to be dried out, and the kindling will start the fire up, and once it starts getting hot, then you can add wood to it, and it will continue to burn and burn and burn. So what am I saying? I'm saying that in a relationship, we got to continue to put on. We got to continue to add to and stop taking away. We got to learn to trust God when it don't make sense. Sometimes in those relationships,
come on, Pastor.
God tells us to be still and pray. What do we do?
Everything.
We go to him. If you would have did this, if you would have did that, if you wouldn't have been so late, if you would have got a job, if you'd be more going to the church and worshiping, and if you'd be praying for the family, then our family would be okay. We need to zip it up. When God says stand still, we need to wait on God. Because Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. So in other words, when we're waiting in the process and stop feeding the fire the wrong fuel, God will speak to us. God will show us. God will move on our behalf. A lot of times when we're asked to trust God, it's when death comes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
And it seems like there's a lot of death that's going on just in this community alone.
Amen.
I just preached a funeral home yesterday, and there's one today, and there will be more to come. But we still got to trust God. A lot of times, I tell people, a lot of times, death will either draw you closer to God or farther away. We've got to learn to trust God. The thing that we've got to learn, that we've got to know, that we all got to cross the chilly Jordan one of these days. But we still got to trust God and wait on God to move on our behalf.
Hallelujah.
Trusting God when it don't make sense. A lot of times we are asked to trust God when we're going through a bad church relationship. Anybody going through a bad church experience?
Amen. Amen.
I tell people often that there's no hurt like church hurt.
Say it again. Say it. Say it again.
You can get hurt by family, and you can be all right. You can get hurt by your girlfriend, your boyfriend.
You better tell it.
You'll be all right. But when you get hurt at church, you think you're going to lose your mind.
You better
say it. Because the church is supposed to be our resting place. Like the church is supposed to be our refuge. The church is supposed to be the place when everything else has failed. If I can just make my way out to the church, I think everything will be all right. But when I get the I tried the world and the world turned their back on me. I tried. look in the mirror, you looking at the church, baby. Because you are the church. So in other words, when you allow somebody else to disrupt you and to keep you from coming to worship, you just allow the enemy to defeat you. Because you gotta understand that the Bible has told you that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. In other words, what God has said, that I have fought the battle, I have already won the battle, and the victory belongs to you. Because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. So don't let nobody stop you from coming to your place of worship, the church. We got a trust God. When it don't make sense. The Bible says, Jesus is that we gotta walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we hear that a lot. Walk by faith and not by sight. What does that really mean? Well, when you think about it, if you could really see where you were going, that's not faith. If you really trusted God, when you really trust God, when you can't see your way and you don't know how it's going to work out, that's what he's talking about. Walking by faith and not by sight. You know, if I was to turn around for me, so if I was to turn around and I tell Zay I'm just gonna fall freely into his hands and I want him to catch me. On the count of three, Zay, I'm gonna fall in your hands, and now make sure that I don't hit the ground. Because Zay, I'm gonna trust you. And you know how religious people, I'm trusting you in Jesus' name. So if I say one, two, and I look back to make sure he's in position, that's not trusting him. That's not walking by faith and not by sight. He said, when you walk by faith, you gotta plunge, make the plunge. I ain't trusting you. When it comes to trusting God, we gotta make the plunge in spite of what we see. Because if we can see it, then that's not true faith. God wants us to truly trust him, and when we don't know that true outcome, that we're still going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not trusting what we see, we're trusting in who we know. And that brings me back to my Israelites here. Because Joshua had told them that we are to go to the Jordan. He said that the Jordan was at flood stage, and he told the priest, he said, now, when you get to the Jordan, you are to walk into the water. I said, wait a minute. Now, before Joshua had told the children of Israel that we're going to cross the Jordan, and that the Levites, who are the priests, that they're going to be carrying the ark of God, and that God is going to go before us. And he said that when the Levites get to the Jordan, as soon as they put their feet in the water, that the water would go stop. I said, wait a minute. Now, we know that whenever floods come, The first thing they tell us is not to go through running water. Because it will overtake you. But Joshua had told the priest that you got to step into the Jordan. And as soon as you step in the Jordan, the water is going to stop. It's going to heal up. And you got to go to the middle of the Jordan. Because he told them prior to, he said, you got to consecrate yourself. So in other words, what I'm telling you today, that when you know you got a word from God, you got to start preparing yourself for greater things and getting ready to take place. Because when I read the word of God, Joshua told the Israelites,
to go right. You gotta call on Jesus. Call on the and he got up with all power in his hand. That's who you need to trust in. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, don't put your trust in man. A man will let you down. You got a body. Trust God. Trust God when it don't make sense. For my faith is not by sight. Woo! What a money. The Israelites were able to go across. Then after they got across, Joshua told them. He says, God told him, he says, get 12 men to go back to the middle of the Jordan where the priest was standing. And pick up 12 stones. And come back and bring them where the place where you're standing. And build a monument. He says that way when your children ask, what are these rocks for? Tell them what God had done. This monument stands here because God allowed us to walk across the Jordan on dry ground. And this is to remind everybody that God is real. God is mighty. God is powerful. God can do anything but fail. He did it then. And guess what? He can do it today. He can do it right now. All we got to do is stand on his word. Don't worry about what the world is doing. Don't worry about what high people or decisions they're making. But we got to learn to trust God. We got to learn to wait on God. When the doctor gives us bad news, talk to Dr. Jesus. Let him work it. It's not over. Till God says so. Trust God when it don't make sense. Amen. As we rest on our feet, we're going to open the doors of the church. That might be someone here today. Amen. That's ready to make a change. I want you to know that God is waiting on you. He's willing and he's ready. All you got to do is step out. Step out. I know that there may be storms in your life, but I want you to know all God got to do is say, peace, be still. Things will start changing. We got to learn to trust him. Why don't you come? First invitation is for salvation. That means someone that hasn't accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. I want you to know this is your opportunity. All you got to do is come and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has died. And yet rose on the third day with all power in his hands. And then you will be one of his children. Will that be one today? Don't worry about who's standing beside you, who's sitting beside you. That may be someone outside, amen, in the parking lot, amen. If you're listening by radio, amen, all you got to do is confess and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, take me, mold me, show me how to be the man of God, how to be the woman of God. He says if you confess and you believe in your heart that God had died on that third day and you accept him as Lord over your life, then you are saved. So nothing can separate you from the love of God. If this is you today, why don't you make it known? Hallelujah. Our second invitation is for membership. That may be someone that loves fellowshipping here with us at Divine and you want to become a member. I do want you to know that we do require you to go through 8 weeks of teaching. It's the doctoral, what we believe in, what we expect from you, and what you should expect from us. I guarantee you, as you go through this class, you will not come out the same. If this is you, I want you to know we would love you to be a part of our family. We love you. And for God knows.